Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. After World War II, anti-Semitism pretty much disappeared. The hard work of many religious leaders made a real difference, especially here in the U.S., and Jews assimilated into the post-war American culture. But things are changing. The new anti-Semitism doesn't look like the old one. Most of it comes in the form of anti-Zionism, a hatred of Israel. This is tied into the culture of critical race theory, ethnic studies, and the intense focus on race. Israel's called a colonial power and an apartheid state, victimizing Palestinians. Yet Israel is the only democracy in the entire region, and Muslim parties are a part of their government. It's a safe, fair place to live, regardless of your race or faith. We need to stop this anti-Jewish nonsense. Okay, joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, the summer's here. The mushrooms are gone. It's not yet hunting season. What are you doing with your time?
Well, Colonel, I have plenty to do. I've been teaching, three or four tactical classes every week, a lot of advanced pistol tactic classes. And I'm also started the harvest season. So when we get in recording today, I will be canning green beans all day long. We harvest from like July all the way into November.
Okay. That does keep you out of trouble, more or less.
Yes, it does. It does.
Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the desegregation of our military in 1948. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Then Navy Commander Robert Green will present his book, Defending the Constitution Behind Enemy Lines. It's about how our federal government totally abused our military, specifically during the COVID crisis. Then we'll meet the National Commander of our American Legion, and General Brian Kelly, the President of the Military Officers Association of America, will share his efforts on behalf of vets, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. It's Vicksburg.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. I've got one item first, then, Skip, you take it. A plainclothes American soldier had been detained in North Korea after crossing the military demarcation line separating the country from South Korea. The defector is a U.S. Army private, Travis King, who was supposed to fly back to the U.S. after being detained in South Korea on assault charges for roughly 2 months. After passing through airport security, King slipped back out of the airport and joined a civilian tour of the DMZ. He laughed as he ran across the border into North Korea. I hope he likes it there. I sure don't want him back here. Okay, Skip, take us to the news.
Well, Colonel, Ukrainian President Zelensky may have gotten support and vague assurances from NATO leaders in Vilnius this month, but he ultimately returns home without a clear commitment that his country will be joining the club anytime soon. Instead, the alliance leaders said they were removing obstacles on Ukraine's membership path so that it can join more quickly once the war with Russia is over. For many, that argument gives Russia's president a pretext to prolong the war, which President Putin ostensibly launched to keep Ukraine from joining NATO. But if Ukraine joins NATO in the middle of the war, then Russia is at war with the entire NATO alliance. En route to this conference, Zelensky threw a fit, sending tweets and making comments, putting down the support he's been receiving, demanding that Ukraine be admitted into NATO.
As much as I support Ukraine, I don't want us to be drawn into a war with Russia. Neither do I want us going broke giving them funds or military equipment we can't afford. Other NATO nations can continue to help them, but this is not something where we're carrying the ball by ourselves.
And a U.S. Army soldier from Massachusetts reported missing in action while involved in fighting against German forces in Italy during World War II has been accounted for. The remains of Private Wing O. Ham of Boston were identified in April using both anthropological and mitochondrial DNA analysis, the Defense POW MAA Accounting Agency announced. Ham, age 20, went missing in February 1944 during fighting near the town of Cisterna di Latina, south of Rome. A member of Company B, 7th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Infantry Division, Ham's body was not recovered, and he was never reported as a prisoner of war. He was declared dead in February 1945. A set of remains recovered near the hamlet of Ponte Rotto could not be identified and were ultimately buried at the Sicily-Rome American Cemetery in Italy. Those remains were disinterred and sent for analysis and identification in 2021 after a DPAA historian studying unresolved American losses during the Italian campaign determined they possibly belonged to Ham. Ham will be buried in Brooklyn, New York on October 11th.
Welcome home, Private Ham. I'm glad our military continues to seek to identify and bring home those who went missing in action.
And Cuba's government recently called the presence of a U.S. nuclear-powered submarine at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base for several days this month a provocative escalation, while a U.S. official said it was a logistics stop by the vessel at a U.S. base on its way to maritime exercises. Quote, "This constitutes a provocative escalation by the United States, whose political or strategic motives are unknown," the Cuban Foreign Ministry said. Our State Department reminded them of the two-year anniversary of the July 11 protests by the Cuban people demanding their legitimate human rights and of the Cuban government's repressive response, said a State Department spokesman. Attempts by the Cuban government to distract the world from the significance of this day are transparent and risible. Cuba's foreign ministry said that 33 Latin American nations signed an agreement committing themselves to a zone of peace and warned about the danger posed by the presence and circulation of nuclear submarines of the U.S. Armed Forces in the nearby Caribbean region. Cuba considers our presence at the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base an occupation and has unsuccessfully demanded its return.
You know, Cuba said what you'd expect a communist dictatorship to say. Note that they didn't mention their military relationship with China.
Amid a freeze in military-to-military contacts, China is accusing us of militarizing outer space, a day after it protested the passage of a U.S. Navy P-8A Poseidon anti-submarine aircraft through the Taiwan Strait. The Chinese Defense Ministry spokesperson said that our actions, including the establishment of the Space Force in 2019, have had a great negative impact on space security and global strategic stability. Quote, "In recent years, the United States has accelerated the militarization of space," he said. "I would like to reiterate here that China adheres to the peaceful use of space, firmly opposes the weaponization and the making of space into a battlefield, and opposes any form of arms race in space," unquote.
China is very good at name-calling, but they have no respect for any values or rules but their own. This gripe is baloney.
I just don't trust them, Colonel.
You really don't? Wow.
It's true.
That's two
it's
of
true.
Us.
And 1,000 feet over Tanan Island, Northern Mariana Islands, U.S. Air Force Captain Brendan Biggie Small peers out the window of a C-130 as roughly a dozen other aircraft deploy parachutes carrying supplies to a small group of troops assembled below. The mission is part of a training exercise involving 70 aircraft and over 3,000 airmen from seven countries, the largest readiness exercise in Air Mobility Command history. Quote, "On this scale, it's really unprecedented," Small said. "For the first time, the exercise called Mobility Guardian is focusing on the Pacific as we gear up for a potential conflict with China. Over 2 weeks, airmen from our country and our allies are practicing resupply missions, aerial refueling, and medical evacuations at bases in Hawaii, Guam, Australia, and Japan." Quote, "I don't believe conflict is inevitable. I don't believe it's unavoidable," said General Mike Minahan, the head of the command. "But I also believe that ready now is what matters most. So ready now is the foundation of deterrence, and ready now is also the foundation of decisive victory."
The general is right. Being ready to fight is a big part of deterrence, and this kind of training is very necessary if we're going to be ready to fight. Good job. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved and getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with Navy Commander Robert Green. At ease, troops, take a break.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Criminals love the cover of darkness. It hides them and provides a tactical advantage and cover for them to launch an attack. Avoid dark alleys and unlit parking lots. When possible, always park under a light and avoid areas with a reputation for high crime. Remember, if you can't see the bad guy, then you can't avoid his ambush. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. This coming Wednesday, the 26th of July, is the anniversary of President Truman desegregating our military in 1948. Besides segregation being less and less popular in our nation, I believe Truman's actions was a consequence of the outstanding performance of our black troops during World War II. There was legal segregation in the rest of our nation until the Civil Rights Act of 1964, so the military led the way. Slavery has always been a part of the world's culture. People of all races, genders, and nationalities have been and are still slaves. However, in our nation, beginning with the British colonies from which we came, slavery was basically restricted to blacks. Not all blacks were slaves. Some free blacks owned slaves, but all slaves were black. African Americans have participated in every war fought by or in the United States, including our Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, Civil War, Spanish-American War, World Wars I and II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and our wars in the Mideast. Crispus Attucks and several other patriots from Boston protested the British curbing of our civil liberties, and during a scuffle with British soldiers, Attucks and several others were shot and killed. Many consider Attucks to be the first American casualty of the Revolutionary War. Thousands of black soldiers, both slaves and free, from all 13 colonies fought in the Continental Army and state militias. About 20% of the black slaves who served were set free as a result of their service. During the War of 1812, black soldiers served in both integrated regiments as well as in black regiments. Black Americans served honorably on land and sea in many roles. When Union troops invaded the southern states, thousands of black slaves flocked to Union camps for a chance to fight and for a chance for freedom. And after President Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, black soldiers were officially allowed to participate in the war on the Union side. After the Civil War, settlers moved westward with increasing numbers. When fighting broke out with the Indians, the Army was involved. In 1866, Congress authorized the formation of regiments of black soldiers, the 9th and 10th Cavalry, the 24th, 25th, 38th, 39th, 40th, and 41st Infantry Regiments. Black soldiers of the 9th and 10th Cav and 24th and 25th Infantry fought in the Spanish-American War. Another 2,000 served in our Navy. On December 27, 1917, the 369th Infantry Regiment became the first all-black U.S. combat unit to be shipped overseas during World War I. France was in real need of reinforcements, and the 369th was assigned to fight with the French Army. The Germans dubbed the unit the Hellfighters because during 191 days of duty at the front, no men were captured and no ground taken. On January 13, 1941, our Army established the 78th Tank Battalion, the first Black Armor Unit. Eventually, they became part of the 5th Tank Group, which was made up of black soldiers and white officers during World War II. And on July 19, 1941, our Army Air Corps began training black pilots at the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. Known for their red-tailed P-51 Mustang fighters, the Tuskegee Airmen never lost an escorted plane to the enemy during World War II, during which they carried out hundreds of escort missions. And after World War II, at least partially due to the outstanding service of black servicemen in all branches of our military was desegregated. This was just in time for the Korean War. Black soldiers now served in all combat service elements and were involved in all major combat operations, including the advance of UN forces to the Chinese border. I've spoken with a few black officers who served in Korea. None mentioned any significant racial issues. Our combat in Vietnam and in the Middle East, in all services, was with totally integrated units. Hey, after I graduated from West Point and attended Army schools, I reported to my 1st Army unit on January 1st, 1965. I was a rifle platoon leader. The unit I was in had people of all races and backgrounds. After 7 months there, I had orders to Vietnam, where I was, again, a rifle platoon leader, this time with several black sergeants in my platoon. This unit was even more racially mixed and was very effective in combat. When I returned from Vietnam, I was assigned to the 101st Airborne Division as a rifle company commander. I took command of the company from a great black captain, who then moved to our battalion staff. The second in command of our battalion was a black major. And my first sergeant was a black man who trained me how to be a good company commander, helped me run the company, and we became friends for life. We had many blacks and Asians and Hispanics in our unit. After a year, our entire division deployed to Vietnam for very heavy fighting during Tet 68. If there was any racial strife, I sure missed it, and I was with my troops constantly. I later served for 3 years in Germany as the second in command of a mechanized rifle battalion. We had our share of junior enlisted men doing inappropriate things, but these were done by men of all races. And yes, the Pentagon has a diversity task force to oversee diversity programs. They have good goals, but over the years, they've been taken over by the politically correct woke crowd. So, is there any racism in our military, or are we free from it? While I've seen very little of it, I'm a white guy. My friends who are black say there is some, and it's still there. And I believe it. We have to continue to fight it when we find it, but I don't think it will ever go away completely. There are some people who just think that people not like them are inferior. I know of no way to fix that. But we can and must ensure that racism is never given a free hand. By the way, I think the same thing applies to our nation as a whole, not just to the military. Yes, there are people who like to call others a racist if they do something not appreciated. But racism means believing that your race is superior to all other races. And I don't know anyone who thinks that. I believe that our nation, including our police and military, does a wonderful, if imperfect, job of treating all people equally, and we need to continue to do so. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, this is the weekend when thousands of pilots head to Oshkosh, Wisconsin for the annual Experimental Aircraft Association meeting called Air Venture. This is the world's largest general aviation gathering. Over the course of 7 days, the Oshkosh Airport will see over 600,000 people and 10,000 aircraft arrivals. In fact, Oshkosh becomes the busiest airport in the world for that week, with more than 16,000 aircraft operations. That's an average of 116 takeoffs and landings per hour. The Experimental Aircraft Association, or EAA, started in 1953 as a local club for those who were building and restoring their own aircraft. It has since grown to an international association with over 250,000 members. The association has also expanded beyond just the home-built aircraft, and they now have a primary focus of growing participation in aviation. EAA now covers warbirds, vintage aircraft, aerobatic, ultralights, and of course, the home-built aircrafts. During the show, there is a warbirds area where all the ex-military aircraft spend the entire week. And only in Oshkosh can you see 400 to 500 jets, fighters, bombers, trainers, and other historic aircraft, a lot of them from Vietnam and World War II. Many of the warbirds have been restored beyond their original glory. And aircraft that will likely be flying are like the Corsairs, the T-28s, Sea Fury, the Chipmunk, of course, P-51 Mustangs. I wouldn't be surprised to see some World War II bombers and many other aircraft. But it's not just the vintage military aircraft. The currently serving U.S. military is going to be represented in full force this year, as every branch is scheduled to be at Oshkosh. The highlight's going to be the U.S. Air Force's Air Education and Training Command, and they're bringing F-15s, C-17s, a V-22 Osprey, and a C-130 for static displays. And military aircraft flying is going to be the F-22 demonstration team, F-18s, F-35s. There's even going to be a U-2 at some point. And there's always a few surprises during the week when it comes to the military. Like, I would not be surprised at all to see the Blue Angels do a flyover early in the week. You know, Oshkosh is really the only place on the planet where you can see so many military aircraft at one place. So if you can't make it to Oshkosh this year, you can always watch the live stream online at the EAA website. Just do a search for AirVenture or the Oshkosh Air Show. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I enjoyed that. That was great. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the abuse of our military with Navy Commander Rob Green. Then we'll talk with American Legion National Commander Vincent Tirola. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for some boxing. Box three rounds, take a break, box another three, then stand at ease.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act, so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care. We're leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted. Our key to success? You. We bring your voice to our nation's leaders so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Please do send me your questions and comments. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome Navy Commander Robert Green. He's published a book that all good Americans need to know about. It's called Defending the Constitution Behind Enemy Lines. It's really an explosive tell-all book detailing military COVID-19 vaccine mandate and the resistance to that mandate by service members who could not, in good conscience, for all kinds of reasons, go along. He removes the veil of military secrecy and complexity to shine light on related unlawfulness and the unofficial cover-up being committed by certain DOD leaders. His deep dive into this current crisis details the harms perpetrated against service members and their families, as well as the destruction of military readiness that resulted. So, welcome to the show, Rob. Or am I supposed to say welcome aboard since you're a squid?
Thank you, Denny. Yes, welcome aboard. Welcome to the show. I'm honored to be here with you. Thank you.
Hey, you're my brother, Rob. And you're a Naval Academy grad, right? So I know I have to then say beat Navy, right?
That's right. That's right. And beat Army. And you know, only enemies one day a year.
That's true. One afternoon a year, actually. Okay. Why'd you want to go to Annapolis? And what was your specialty in the Navy?
So I'm a surface warfare officer by trade. Going to the Naval Academy, nobody in my family had ever done it. Something I wanted to do since reading a book about John Paul Jones was I was a very young kid, and just something I always wanted to do. So I was very blessed that God allowed me to find a way to get there.
I truly understand. I'm the first person in my family ever to be in the military, much less go to West Point. So we got a lot in common. Okay, let's get to your book. You obviously ran into some situations that your ethics couldn't tolerate. I'm right here, aren't I?
Absolutely, yes. Things that we could not go along with in good conscience, things that violated our faith. So many of us stood up to this, and it wasn't easy, but the best part of this was meeting some incredible people who also were willing to stand up and risk everything to do what's right.
Well, I've talked to a number of service people of all ranks and services who had a real problem with this. Some of them got out, some of them were thrown out, some of them stayed in. But to say that this was a crisis within our military is an understatement. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. Truly a crisis in that our leaders have apparently decided to throw their weight behind whatever political agenda they're told to, and they're not willing to risk their own careers, their own career progression in order to do the right thing. I mean, gone are the days when admirals and generals are willing to lay down their stars to take a stand and resist the politicization of the military.
I certainly have seen that, and I've used those words before in dozens of situations recently, and I'm horrified by it. Continue on about what you went through and what you've discovered.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was the executive officer of a 650-person unit when the COVID vaccine mandate went down. And so many of us in doing the research saw that, you know, not only was it not safe, it had not been properly tested. You know, we had conscientious reasons to ask the Department of Defense to slow down. We need to study this. We need to do the right thing. But they charged full steam ahead into this thing. And as we continued to dig in, we realized that, you know, that this thing is harming people in so many different ways, you know, physically, morally, and spiritually, trying to force them to do things that violated their conscience, to take a treatment that so many did not want and did not need. So ultimately, I was fired from that position, leading that unit, and then sent home. They did not really know what to do with so many of us. And, you know, they were threatening court martials and all kinds of other things. And we basically called their bluff. Now, many got kicked out, nearly 10,000. And, you know, we're working as hard as we can right now to get those folks reinstated.
Well, all the services are having trouble with manpower. And we've got qualified people that they threw out and they're not happy to get them back.
You would think they would. We're in one of the deepest recruiting crises in history, and they do not want these people back. They don't want those back who were willing to disobey these unlawful orders to take a COVID-19 vaccine.
You know, this is insane, except I know that what you're saying is absolutely true because I've talked to so many other people that have experienced that. So where are we going? What do we do with this?
So the issue that we have to make sure gets finalized in the courts, we have to get a final ruling confirming that the DOD broke the law. Now, they broke the law in a couple different ways. I'm not sure if your audience understands EUA law very well. I didn't at first. But there are products that are required to be FDA licensed, fully approved and licensed before they can be mandated to any American. And these same laws protect all Americans, not just those in the service. They broke the law in trying to force these emergency products on service members. Then they broke the law in refusing to give religious accommodations, refusing to even analyze those religious accommodations, which they're required to do on an individual basis according to the law. And finally, they destroyed their own readiness by kicking these people out and having no intention to bring them back. It's going to require legislative or the federal courts, the legislature or the courts, in order to force the DOD to do the right thing. And that's what's truly tragic here, is the DOD would rather protect the institution, would rather protect their own pride than admit that they did wrong and try to repair this.
You know, one would hope that couldn't happen. And certainly the big thing is the only reason we have a military is to be combat ready so that we can kill people and break things. That's deterrence. And they seem to be operating in a way to specifically destroy that, don't they?
Yes. And part of the problem is that there seems to be a very little understanding of what our oath truly means. When we talk about enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, you and I both took that oath to defend the Constitution, support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I didn't even understand early in my career what the domestic enemy was. I had always naively thought that it was, you know, just Timothy McVeigh. It was a domestic terrorist. It was similar to the foreign threat in that it was some sort of, you know, attack, physical attack. But the domestic threat, we now, so many of us now realize, is so much more insidious. So the Constitution does two main things. The Constitution establishes our form of government, and then it limits that government in order to establish the primacy of individual rights. Now, that second part is very often ignored. But if you want to know what the new enemy, the new domestic enemy is to the Constitution, that enemy is the one who is trampling your individual rights for the sake of federal power, for the sake of total control over your life, for the sake of ensuring that one size fits all at the national level. That's what the new domestic enemy is. And that is who we have sworn an oath to defeat. We are sworn by our constitutional oaths to ensure that that new domestic enemy, just like we're trained to fight the foreign enemy, we have to fight the new domestic enemy. We have to ensure that we are defending individual constitutional rights at all costs. And that's what so many of us did, risking court martials, risking our livelihoods, risking our lives. And so I encourage those who are listening to this, go buy this book, go read this book. It tells the stories of those who stood up to this and who were willing to risk everything. It's not just my story. I try to tell as little about myself as possible, but defending the Constitution behind enemy lines is about service members who said, no, individual rights must take priority over this politicized issue.
You know, I taught American government at college for 15 years, and I taught the Constitution. But the point you just made about domestic policy, domestic enemies, is something I missed. So I thank you for bringing that up. That's incredibly true. And I guess that our founding fathers were even smarter than I gave them credit for, and I gave them a lot of credit. There's more to discuss about this situation, this poor leadership provided by our military, and Rob is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, twice a week. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Navy Commander Rob Green about his book, Defending the Constitution Behind Enemy Lines. Rob, this is a crazy situation, but it's exactly what you've described. We the people, not just our military, not just the people being personally affected by this right now, we need to stand up and defend our Constitution, because this is what our country is. That's what makes us a unique nation, right?
Yes, absolutely. And what we have to do when we defend the Constitution is we have to defend individual constitutional rights. What's at issue here is that the government is trying to dictate every single aspect of our lives at this point. They're going to corral us into the one-size-fits-all governmental dictated way of living. And that's completely in opposition to what our founding fathers intended, what the Constitution is meant to do. And when we defend the Constitution, in this case against domestic enemies, it is primarily a defense of individual constitutional rights.
You know, and one of the things that we citizens can do is talk to our elected officials. Most citizens don't even know the names of one of their elected officials, senators or congressmen or state representatives and those kind of people. Talk to them regularly and let them know where you stand and insist that they join the fight on this. That's one thing we can do, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We have to get the legislature involved and help them get on the offensive. They can't do it without the people voicing their concerns. I will highlight one of those members of Congress, Senator Tommy Tuberville. He's taking a stand right now for the innocent, some of the most innocent amongst us, the unborn. And he's stopping the DOD right now from putting new flag officers and general officers in place. He's holding up their promotions. And it's ironic. I mean, I would say funny, but that's not the right word, because this is a tragic situation. The DOD is making the argument that readiness is going to be destroyed by Tommy Tuberville's stance, and that that's somehow going to, you know, drive recruiting and retention down, that it's somehow hurting the military by holding up these promotions. But I'll tell you, the vast majority of the junior enlisted, the junior officers, they are so happy to have somebody willing to stand up to this crowd who will do nothing but follow the whims of whoever's in power. And so we have finally somebody executing proper checks and balances and getting the DOD to stop breaking the law. They think they're exempt from the Hyde Amendment. They think they can find some way to get around the laws established by Congress that they cannot fund elective abortions. But they're trying to find some ways around it, some loophole, and the senator is holding them to account.
I agree with you. That's the kind of thing we need. And this happens to fit a really good thing, but we need everybody being upset and asking elected officials and indeed the Pentagon, why are you doing this? We need some senior officers to stand up and say, I won't put up with this, or I'll resign, retire early, whatever. But I don't see that happening at all. Do you?
Well, there are a few of us. You know, there were 5,000 veterans and active duty military who signed a petition supporting Tommy Tuberville over this particular issue. And so many of us have also stood up to the COVID government overreach that has gone on. And for me, you know, my target's not going to be political. I want to stay out of politics as much as possible. I want the laws defended, and I want our leaders, I don't care who's in power, I want our leaders to just follow the laws of the nation and follow the laws of God. And that's all that we truly care about here. And so what we're doing about it, what I have decided to do about it, is to go public and to name names. I am naming, and I'm not targeting politicians because that's not my wheelhouse. But my wheelhouse is the military and our senior military leaders who broke the law. I filed dozens of reports, memorandums, complaints against senior 3- and 4-star admirals who broke the law, who harmed service members. I'll name names right here, but Admiral Christopher Grady, he's the current vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He issued my first unlawful order I had ever received in the military, telling me that I could not go to indoor religious services. Complete violation of my First Amendment constitutional rights. And I filed a complaint against that, completely ignored by the NAVIG, by the Naval Inspector General, who happened to be my very first commanding officer in the Navy. That's Admiral John Fuller, covering for Admiral Christopher Grady. I name these names in my book. I'm going to name them publicly. They know where to find me, and we can have this conversation because they broke the law.
And one of my concerns, I'm aware of a number of groups like yours that is trying to stand up. I think you're the most effective one, but I don't see any active duty generals and admirals on any of these lists. And they're the ones who are supposed to be our leaders, aren't they?
They are. And I can't speak to their personal beliefs, whether they would agree with any of this or not, but I do know what the laws say, and I do know what many of their actions were. And so that is what we're trying to make sure is corrected. And we're going to try the best we can to hold them accountable for what they've done. Now, I don't have the authority to do it. You know, they have authority over me. It doesn't go the other way around. I understand that. But we are appealing to the American people. That's what my book is about. That's what all of these, you know, radio, TV, podcast interviews are about. And so far, they have done nothing but ignore it. They ignored our reports, our memoranda, our complaints from 2020, 2021, and 2022. They are now ignoring our public appeals. They're now ignoring these kinds of interviews. They do not know how to deal with it because they know they broke the law.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're talking with Commander Robert Green. Rob, let's start with this. How can listeners buy a copy of Defending the Constitution Behind Enemy Lines?
Yeah, thank you, Denny. So you can go to Amazon. You can go to Barnes & Noble. You can find it there. If you're not a fan of any of either of those organizations, and you want to try to keep from, I guess, further funding tech oligarchs, you can go directly to Skyhorse. That's the publisher. They've done a great job in pushing things that are off narrative, that's censored everywhere else. Skyhorse has been incredible. Tony Lyons has been great. You can go directly to Skyhorse's website, find the book there. You know, we have to have our First Amendment rights, rights to free speech, and we're going to have to blast through the censorship, because that's what we're seeing right now.
Well, yes, we do. And folks, I really appreciate Rob's position and the fact that he's not trying to get political. But we have to get political to support him. We have to be in touch with our U.S. senators, our U.S. congressmen, with the White House, with the Pentagon, with our state reps, and say, this is not acceptable. You've got to let your governors and state representatives know this is not acceptable in the National Guard. Rob and I both believe in God. We believe that God also told us we are responsible to be good stewards of what he's given us. And he's given us this great country. And it's time for us to get active at following Rob's leadership. Rob, any final thoughts you want to share?
Yes, one important thing. With all the negativity, with all of the lawlessness we're seeing around in the military, around our country, we must have hope. There is always hope. Be faithful to your conscience. Be faithful to your belief systems. Be faithful to each other. Defend the Constitution, and that is where you will find hope.
Yes, sir. I agree totally. Rob, thank you. Thank you for the courage of standing up and saying what needs to be said. Thank you for your military service. In both ways, you're standing up to your oath to support and defend the Constitution. I am proud to call you friend and want to stand with you through this.
God bless you, Denny. Thank you for all you do.
Brother, we have to stand together, and thank you for the courage you're showing. I cannot find the words to say how much I appreciate and admire what you're doing. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with the American Legion National Commander. Then we'll meet General Brian Kelly, who leads the Military Officers Association of America. And then we'll review the Battle of the Month with General Chris Petty. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 30 good ones, then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.